This episode of the Axon Creative Podcast is brought to you by Skillshare. Explore your creativity at skillshare.com/AC and get a free trial of premium membership. This episode is also sponsored by Backcountry. The outdoors is calling, and if you want to answer, backcountry.com is the place to go. Go to backcountry.com/AC and enter promo code AC to get 15% off your first full-priced purchase. Some exclusions apply. Hey everyone, welcome to the Accidental Creative Podcast. My name is Todd Henry. I'm your host. I'm also the author of The Accidental Creative, Die Empty, Louder Than Words, Herding Tigers, and the new book, The Motivation Code, available now wherever books are sold. I posted something on Instagram last week about how we are a culture that is awash in awareness, but we lack understanding. Meaning we lack an understanding of the deeper systemic governing issues that are causing the problems that are going on in the world. So we're aware of a lot of things, and we confuse awareness with understanding. We think that because we're aware, that means that we're really smart, that we really get what's going on, but we don't see the patterns. But we shouldn't settle for understanding. We should actually work our way toward wisdom. You know, understanding is not the same thing as wisdom. Wisdom tells us not just what could happen, but what should happen based upon some sort of framework, some sort of experience, some sort of understanding of the deeper themes playing out in life. And I think that this lack of understanding and the lack of wisdom, the fact that we settle so easily for just awareness, is resulting in a general lack of common sense, a general lack of ability to just look at something and discern what's going on the surface without letting somebody else tell us what we should think. Well, today's guest is a world-renowned coach, an internationally best-selling author. His name is Martin Lindstrom, and Martin has a new book. It's called The Ministry of Common Sense. I love the title of this book. And Martin is going to help us today navigate through what it looks like to have common sense in our day-to-day life and our day-to-day work. But not only that, we had a great, just a phenomenal conversation about creativity and all things related to having to create on demand every day. So Martin is going to help us through all of those things, help us gain some common sense, and maybe even help us communicate and lead common sense within organizations that are so awash in red tape. He's going to help us with that here in just a minute. Before we dive in, I want to let you know today's episode is brought to you by Skillshare. So, hey, we have no idea. I don't know. You don't know what 2021 is going to bring, right? Whatever 2021 brings, you can spend it creating something meaningful with Skillshare's online classes, because time is what we make of it. With Skillshare, you can find inspiration in the moment and learn how to express your creativity. And really, frankly, friends, this is something I've been talking about for a long, long time. The fact that we need to be committing ourselves to developing new skills, learning new things, expressing ourselves in new ways, finding ways even to unnecessarily create, meaning we're not doing it for anybody else. We're not doing it for our job necessarily. We're just trying to find ways to express ourselves so that we can develop our creative intuition. And Skillshare is a great playground for you to go and to develop that creative intuition, to develop your creative skills. Whatever you want to learn, you can learn it on Skillshare. For example, Find Your Style, 5 exercises to unlock your creative identity. Productivity for creatives, build a system that brings your best work. Video for Instagram, maybe you want to get better at social media and telling stories. There's a class to help you do that. Video for Instagram, tell an engaging story in less than a minute. There are any number of ways that you can develop those crucial skills, the things that you're going to need in order to A, to grow creatively, but B, to be able to apply to your job, to your career, to continue you up the curve of growth over the course of time. Skillshare is an online learning community that offers membership with meaning. With so much to explore, real projects to create, and the support of fellow creatives, Skillshare empowers you to accomplish real growth. Skillshare is also incredibly affordable, by the way, especially when compared to pricey in-person classes and workshops. An annual subscription is less than $10 a month. You can't beat it. So explore your creativity at skillshare.com/AC and get a free trial of premium membership. That's skillshare.com/AC to get a free trial of premium membership. We thank Skillshare for sponsoring this episode of the Accidental Creative Podcast. Well, it is great to welcome to the Accidental Creative Podcast today, Martin Lindstrom. I've really looked forward to having Martin on the show for a very long time. He is a multiple-time best-selling author, New York Times best-selling author. His new book is called The Ministry of Common Sense. It is now on the Wall Street Journal bestseller list. He just puts out a book and it becomes a bestseller instantly. That's amazing. I don't know how people do that. Martin, welcome to the Accidental Creative Podcast.
Thank you, Todd. What a pleasure to be on your show.
So would you, if you don't mind, could you share with listeners, how do you describe yourself? When you talk about what you do, what is it that Martin Lindstrom does?
Well, listen, it really began many years ago when I was 12 years of age and I opened up my own advertising agency and got Lego as a client. And back then, I knew that I wanted to understand branding, but I really didn't have the credentials to claim that I was a branding expert. So really what I did over the years were to try to specialize myself in things on the periphery of branding, i.e. Culture or senses, our senses, or perhaps neuroscience. Out of that, I developed a term called neuromarketing or sensory marketing or clicks and mortar. So all these different areas, which on one hand has a leg in branding and marketing, on the other hand doesn't, really helped me to carve out the space of being a branding expert. But you know what? It's not fair to say I'm a branding expert anymore, because I do think that a lot of my focus today is not just branding. It's about optimizing every touch point the customer comes in contact with over the entire span of a company's life. What really is branding, but it could be culture. It could be the sensory experience. It could be everything for how you train people or whatever it is. Mm-hmm. So really it is branding and it's not.
But how people interact with your organization is certainly a huge aspect of your brand, right? It's certainly how people experience you, which means that it's going to form their impression of you. And this new book could not have come at a better time. I know that you probably didn't plan to release it in the middle of a global pandemic, but this is a perfectly timed book. It's called The Ministry of Common Sense: How to Eliminate Bureaucratic Red Tape, Bad Excuses, and Corporate BS. Not that anyone listening has any clue what any of that is, of course. Yeah, we said. So why is common sense so valued in our personal lives, but often so scarce within organizations, Martin? Why is it that we do things that don't make sense inside of organizations?
Well, it's a really good question. I think if you break down the word, it consists of two words, which is common and sense, and common means seeing the world from another perspective. And what's fascinating is we increasingly do not do that. We increasingly are more focused on ourselves, what I want to achieve. Companies have silos, they have KPIs, which are encouraging me to perform better, not necessary for me to be a team player in the organization. But what's really fascinating, Todd, however, is that when I began writing the book, I noticed a correlation between common sense and empathy. And empathy is really the ability to put yourself in the shoes of another person and experience and feel what that person is feeling. And what I really find fascinating is that if you take a look at smaller companies, let me give you an example. Two young kids are sitting in the dorm rooms smoking weeds. Off their head, shoots a lot of photos, post them online. Hell breaks loose, of course, and the day after, the parents are furious, and one of the guys is saying to his mate, "I wish we could retract those photos." And that became the foundation of Snapchat, which today is a $50 billion company. Now, that happened because these two guys had empathy. They felt the pain themselves, and through that, they created a movement of change and recruited a lot of people around them which had felt the same experience. And that became then the company. But what happens over time is that as a company grows bigger, suddenly the founders are derailed. Think about Google. Suddenly the lawyers are starting to run the show together with other people from compliance. Suddenly the revolving doors of new staff is going in and out. Suddenly that movement, that empathy, which was felt by the founders and the core group, slowly is watered out. And that is then replaced with the opposite of common sense, which is nonsense. And suddenly they want to protect themselves more. And you can almost imagine this as being the two islands floating away from each other. One island is, of course, the customer, the consumer, which is seeing the world from outside in. And then you have those people sitting in the company, which are seeing the world from inside out. And increasingly, they believe in their own worldview. They drink of their own Kool-Aid. So long story short, common sense disappears because empathy is fading away. That's the bad news. The even worse news is that now we're increasingly seeing exactly the same as happening on the consumer side. We, you and I, are now losing common sense as well. But I guess that's another story.
That is a fascinating conversation I would love to have with you, because you know we hear a lot about this empathy crisis, this empathy gap in our culture, and it does seem like we are, as you mentioned, we are islands moving away from one another. What do you think has contributed to that lack of empathy culturally? Because I do think that there is then a trickle up effect into our organizations, because our organizations are nothing but the aggregate of our society, of our culture. So what do you think has contributed to that lack of empathy?
Well, I think we need to go back in history, first of all, to understand where mammals, i.e. human beings, are coming from. And if you go back, let's say, 100,000 of years, you will notice that our brain actually looked very different. And there was an area in the brain which didn't exist, which is called the right supernatural cortex, which really is the area where you have the cerebral cortex. And in that region of the brain, you will notice that we have grown and sophisticated, if you could use that word, the concept of empathy. Now, what's describing the reason why we are where we are today is because we, I guess, when we were out fighting or we were attacked by a bear, was able to put ourselves in the footstep of the animal and kind of predict what the animal would be doing through the uses of empathy. That is really the reason why we as human beings are the superior race today on planet Earth. But what is really scary is now that for the first time ever, we're seeing this is in a dramatic fall. According to University of Michigan, which conducted a study among 14,000 college students over 30 years, they actually were able to conclude that the degree of empathy has dropped some 48% over the last decade alone.
Wow.
So back to your question, why is that happening? Well, I think there's three reasons why. Two of them are obvious. One of them is surprising. The first reason why is because of social media. That self-fulfilling bubble we all impacted by, typically driven by algorithms, are reinforcing my view to the world. And I'm really not exposed for other views anymore. And if I am, by the way, I'll step away and go into another channel or look at another feed. That means that empathy muscle, which once was part of our everyday life, is getting weaker and weaker. And believe me, there is actually an empathy muscle, so to speak, because the more we expose for contrasting views, other cultures, other religions, whatever the views they are, the more we actually establish empathy. So that's the first reason. The second reason is really the instant gratification generation phenomena. The idea of that I want to be gratified immediately. And if I'm not gratified, well, then I'll move on. Twitter's 280 characters does not allow you to say more than yes and no or black and white. So how do you express emotions? How do you express a nuance or a context using 280 characters? So that's the second reason why empathy is in a crisis. The third reason, according to our study, is something as unusual as, and I hope you're sitting down now, Todd, Botox. So here we go. What the heck does Botox have to do with this? Well, it's very simple. What we know today from all sorts of studies done between mothers and newborn babies is that newborn babies are connecting with their mothers based on the micro movements we have in our face. So if mothers have various micro movements, the baby will pick up on it immediately. I'm sure you've heard about the idea of that the body language tells perhaps 70 or 80% of the message in a room.
Yes.
Compared to the verbal message. Well, it's not necessary that you would like an Italian or a French person is waving your arms up and down. that's actually a smaller part of it. It's actually your facial expressions, which are the main driver here. But Botox has become a major force in ironing out your skin, and those facial movements are now disappearing. So studies conducted recently shows, first of all, that the degree of connection between mothers and babies is in a free fall right now. It also shows, by the way, that we have increasingly difficulties connecting with others, because that kind of signal we send out to the other party, which is either is saying, yeah, I was just kidding, or yeah, there's something about this, or not sure I'm agreeing. Those are not replicated back again. And that means we kind of feel naked. And that means we lose empathy for the other party. And the other party, ironically, is also losing empathy for you, because you are no longer mirroring what that person is doing, which taps into the whole theory of mirror neurons. So these main factors are really the reason why we're seeing empathy is in an existential crisis at the moment.
Well, it reminds me of, I think it was a phrase that was coined by maybe Sherry Turkle, I'm not sure, but alone together, this idea that, yeah, we're together, but we're not really connected. We're connected, but we're not really communing. And, I think managers are feeling that right now. Organizations are feeling that in the midst of COVID, because we see each other on the screen, but it's, you know, to your point, it's not the same as occupying the same space together. I often say when I'm working with organizations right now, I'll say everything is a transaction. It feels very transactional. I click a button and Martin is there, and then I click a button and Martin is gone, and I don't have to deal with the, you know, we just do what we have to do and then it's over. There's no relationship. It's just transactional. How do you think that this current experience of COVID is contributing to either the lack of or the development of or the lack of empathy in organizations?
Well, first of all, the straightforward answer is that I can't gather the sentiment in a room anymore, because there is no room. That means that I am behaving as am I on a remote control or an autopilot. I'm saying things which are safe, which are not meant to mirror, reflect, or adapt to the feeling in the room. And I'm saying things which typically are measured based on minutes or based on deliverables. But you have to remember, in the good old days, which is 2 years ago, we would walk to the meeting room before having the meeting and align our thoughts with the three colleagues you would have with you. After the meeting, we would again connect. I mean, just ask any advertising executive when they do a pitch. The first thing they'll say after the meeting was, "You know, I looked at this guy's body language. He really likes it." It was not a question about what they said. It was a question about how they behave body-wise. It's gone. And what you will notice is that the moment in the water cooler station area or at the canteen or the coffee break, all those things which by the CFO was hated because you couldn't really put a timesheet on it, today are gone. So, of course, the CFO and Wall Street is happy because the concept of productivity is going through the roof. But as you say, it's very transactional. And the consequence, however, is that that fat, and I'm using fat as a metaphor here, which really was seen as, you know, not very valuable, it really was a way to synchronize each other all the time. And that's gone. That means we have no synchronization moment. We don't have that post moment where you call people after the meeting and say, "Hey, Todd, you were very silent. Why were you very silent? Something wrong?" That type of moment is rarely executed today, even though that's what I recommend every one of my clients to do. So yes, what's happening is that we become people which are trying to react to a situation rather than being proactive. And with that comes an enormous amount of problems. I mean, on the emotional side, what happens is that people do back-to-back Zoom and team call meetings the entire day. And then at 8 o'clock, they're done. They throw themselves at the couch. And guess what? Then it's time to work. Because we can't do work while we're sitting behind these screens, because we are almost like a tribe forced more and more to have our calendars booked. Because if you don't have it booked, then you're not busy, then you're not productive. And I'm kind of afraid of losing my job So it kind of been this awkward way of measuring productivity on. But what also happens, and this is probably worse, and comes down to, I think, a lot of people listening right now, that the pause quite often is a reflection of creativity. And I think the best way of illustrating that is that, no, I skipped my phone 4 years ago, so I haven't had a phone at all for 4 years.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Wow, yeah. It was a bet I had with Arianna Huffington, and I'm still fighting on it. But here's the issue. What I wanted to do was to do an experiment to see how I was behaving differently. And here's what happened. First of all, I realized when not having a phone that I would see things which you normally wouldn't see. Think about it. You're standing in a bar waiting for someone, and if the person didn't show up, the first thing you'll do is to grab your phone and do something with the phone, anything with the phone, mm-hmm. so you don't look like a complete loser, right? So that would be the first thing. The second thing which will happen would really be that you will not meet people anymore because you will just use your phone as a device. And the third thing, and that's really the worst thing, you will never get bored anymore. Mm-hmm. And boredom is the foundation for creativity. It's that pause in your life allowing you to reflect and connect dots in a new way. So what I learned from my experiment, the four-year experiment, which is still ongoing and probably will continue for the rest of my life, is that we're never bored anymore. We're petrified of being bored. And you're never bored during the day. In fact, you feel like you're losing your breath almost. So think about that when you're creative. Creativity is all about social interaction, seeing things in a new way, in a new context, and boredom. Well, all those three factors are gone, which is the reason why I also would claim that most creatives are, again, in a crisis at the moment, because they will feel like they're stretching the world through a glass window but can never really get through.
Hey, friends, we're going to continue the conversation with Martin Lindstrom in just a minute. Before we do, I want to let you know today's episode is also sponsored by Backcountry. Listen, the outdoors is calling, and if you want to answer, backcountry.com is the place to go, because when you shop at backcountry.com, you can pick up the phone and talk gear with an actual former Olympian. Yes, it is totally true. Founded by a former Olympic skier, backcountry.com is the best place for outdoor gear and apparel. From Patagonia to Yeti to Big Agnes to Santa Cruz bicycles, backcountry.com has thousands of your favorite brands and products for every outdoor adventure. Not sure where to start on camping gear or skis or a winter jacket? When you ask for help at backcountry.com, you're not getting an outdoor hobbyist. Backcountry gearheads are experts who can give you a masterclass in the great outdoors. Anything from providing you a detailed pack list for your next summit to gift recommendations for your outdoorsy friend to what winter jacket works best for you. I recently ordered a pair of outdoor hiking boots that I absolutely love. And I also ordered a jacket, and I had some questions about the sizing on the jacket that I ordered. And they were able to immediately tell me not just, you know, what size I should order, but, you know, that the brand fits a certain way. And they were able to help me determine, okay, is this going to be the right level of warmth I'm going to need for this jacket? How well can it travel? Can I pack it if I'm traveling in the winter, which hopefully will be happening, you know, more next year? So they were so unbelievably helpful and quick. And the turnaround was amazing. At Backcountry, they were very, very helpful. It's something you really have to experience in order to understand. Everything Backcountry sells is the highest quality, but the Backcountry gearheads are the real difference. And again, they're former pro athletes, Olympians, 100-day-a-year skiers, and season guides with years of experience, and all available 24/7 by phone, email, or chat for product recommendations and hard-won advice. So go to backcountry.com/AC and enter promo code AC to get 15% off your first full price purchase. Some exclusions apply. So go right now and get 15% off at backcountry.com/AC. Enter promo code AC. That's backcountry.com/AC. And don't forget to enter promo code AC. And we thank Backcountry for sponsoring this episode of the Accidental Creative Podcast. And now back to our conversation with Martin Lindstrom.
I love that imagery. You know, I often say it was a tremendous gift to grow up in the 70s, the 80s, the 90s, because when I came home from school, no one could reach me until the next day. Or if they did, they had to call me at that device that was hanging on the wall, and I had to stretch a cable to the other room to talk privately with my friends. But if I wanted to be finished with social interaction, I could. But the pressure that we feel today to stay connected, to constantly be checking to see if anything out there is more important than what's in front of us, to your point, I think it's because of that that we often miss those intuitive leaps that we could be making, you know, because we're perpetually distracted by whatever is most obvious, whatever's most in front of us at the moment, that we're not looking for the pattern behind the pattern that could provide that creative breakthrough.
Absolutely. I think that, no, the best way to illustrate that is really an experiment done with chickens some years ago. They were stocked into a cage for half a year, and one day they were let out on the beautiful green grass, and the sun was shining, and the birds were singing. And the chicken went out, and after 30 seconds, they turned around and went back straight into the chicken cage again. And I call that for the chicken cage syndrome. And really what it is, it's the fear of the unknown. Now, all of us are more or less a victim of the chicken cage syndrome. And I think increasingly, you would probably notice if you were to ask yourself that you actually increasingly are trying to avoid leaving home. Now, I don't need to tell you, I'm not talking about you going to a restaurant or you going traveling. That's not what I'm talking about. But normally when you would jump on a plane and go to LA or go to New York or wherever you would go for a meeting, you now are saying, well, we'll do it online. But do we really need to meet up? And this is the first syndrome, the chicken cage syndrome in action. Because what happens is we become addicted to staying at home. And as a consequence of that, we actually remove the sources what are helping us to grow creativity. And we've seen that with numerous examples from, for example, astronauts, which have been stocked in a capsule for a very long time, that their degree of empathy and creativity was in free fall when they were surrounded by the same environment all the time and didn't have inspirations. Most creative people break rules, metaphorically speaking, based on the fact that they combine two ordinary things in a new way. But how do you do that when everything in your room has already been combined in a new way? You really can't do that. So I think it's very important to understand from a creativity point of view that we will have a crisis when the doors are opening up, when COVID 21 or 22 or 23 is gone, that you will have a lot of people which are stuck inside and they're struggling with understanding why they lost the skill set they once had. The reality is it's actually not super science. It's because we're now falling a victim for a chicken cage syndrome and we had to get out of there very quickly.
Wow. I mean, it seems on the surface, it seems like something that we should definitely understand and see, but it's hard to see from the inside sometimes. It's hard to tell that you're in the cage until you go out of the cage, right? And I think you have just put words to something that many of us are experiencing but didn't really have terminology for, this chicken cage syndrome.
Well, it comes down to a very simple thing that you always... you always are acting more informed the more angle you add to a certain perspective. And I've certainly tried that, you know, multiple times. You know, over the years, I've been spending time in more than 3,000 different consumer homes, living in those homes, staying overnight, cooking, partying, shopping with these people across more than 80 countries. And what I noticed was that as I began traveling, I mean, originally I was very introvert, but actually I became more and more extrovert. And actually I became more and more creative. A lot of people are asking me, where do I get my creativity from? Well, you know, who's my source of inspiration or my mentor? And I always say, well, that's people. It's people in whether I'm living in some mud or in a, I don't know if you can call it a house or a shed somewhere in Nigeria, or I'm kidnapped in Venezuela, or I'm living in a posh environment somewhere in Tokyo. All of that has added a new point of view to things. And I think what happens is that I've, through this process, learned how to take off what they in Germany is calling Kulturbrillen. If I was to translate that to English, it is culture glasses. Mm-hmm. Culture glasses is a term invented in Germany which really showed that the more we are part of a culture, the more we become the culture, and the more blind we become. And I do think we become very blind at the moment. And the problem is we can't see it before someone else, like the Empire of New Cloth in Hans Christian Andersen's fairy tale, before that little boy is screaming, look at the empire, he has no clothes on. Well, that's going to happen very soon, or else we will be stuck in that chicken cage.
Yeah. Well, the new book is called The Ministry of Common Sense. I could continue talking with you for hours, but I want to honor your time. Martin, if people want to come find you, what is the best place for people to come look for you on the web?
Oh, very straightforward, martinlindstrom.com, or you can find me on any social channel out there.
Thank you for all of the work that you've done for many, many years. It's been tremendously inspiring. I know to me, I know to many listeners as well. And thank you for taking the time to share your insights and wisdom with us today.
Pleasure. It was a pleasure to be on your show. I really enjoyed it. Thank you.
And of course, as always, thank you for listening. If you enjoyed this episode, please subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts or at accidentalcreative.com. Remember, friends, cover bands don't change the world. Don't be a cover band. You need to find your unique voice if you want to thrive. We'll see you next time.